Accession number 22688, reel 4.
Tell you about him, Four.
Yes. Enid Grant, reel 4. Yes, these parties sound wonderful, and you, I suppose, with so few women,
yes,
you must have been in great demand.
Oh, great
all
demand,
the time.
Yes. We had great fun. As I say, we were wonderfully looked after. We threw parties ourselves in our mess, and when General Slim came to one, other officers, and we played, I remember playing silly games, sticking names on people's backs, and they had to guess who they were. I forget who. I remember sticking one on General Slim's back. He used to come to our parties.
Did he?
Well, if, you know, now and again, we invited him.
What was he like?
Oh, charming, absolutely. He was typically Australian, I think. Bluff, sort of kindly man. I have a funny story. Is that on? Oh, a funny story.
Yes, I think you better make up your mind. This is always on when you're talking.
Well, I'm going a bit ahead of time to Tamu.
That's okay.
We haven't gone there yet. I've still got more of info to tell you.
Yes, but do Tamu, tell me the story.
Mm-hmm. We had to get water, they dug a huge tank and lined it with an enormous tarpaulin, and the water was pumped up from the river. And that was for everything. We drank it. It had alum. It was treated with alum. Had to boil it. Tea tasted horrible. Matron Kelly came to Tamu with us and brought Tony the dog. And Tony used to take a swim in it every morning. And there was a family of ducks who floated on it. And our letters were very heavily censored home. And I thought this was something amusing I could tell my mother, which wasn't giving away any secrets. So I described all this to her. She was horrified. She wrote to General Slim, said she didn't think her daughter was receiving a proper water supply. It was most embarrassing. She was quite right, because the water came from the river in which there were dead Japanese and accoutrements floating. Nobody got MRSA or these terrible diseases you get in hospitals here today. In spite of all that.
But he was an easy mixer, was he? That he
oh,
mixed
yes,
in,
he was very,
very informal.
He was very popular. He was very well liked. And
did you meet any of the other generals?
I met dozens of generals and brigadiers, and I can't remember them all. General Stopford I knew quite well, because he lived at Chipping Norton here.
What was he like?
Oh, he was very nice. He was tall and thin, and I better not tell you on that, is what I would say. I used to see them, and he gave me a lot of photographs, which unfortunately I've given to Peter Liddell, some of them. I've still got a few, if they're of interest to you, if I can find them.
Well, it would be very nice to have a photograph of you at this time, to go with the photograph that I've just taken.
Oh.
But, you know, you were really going to tell me more about your time in Imphal, I
yes.
think.
Where
because
had we
this
got
was a very important place, wasn't
yes, it,
it
was. It was a sort of turning point.
After the siege?
Yes.
Were there many dead Japanese about? Did you know?
I was down. It had all cleared away by the time I went up to Imphal from the Arakan. There was nothing much to see. We did have, I'll tell you it in sequence, this hospital I've been telling you about where Lady Slim visited. Is that where we are? In the same hospital, I was doing my rounds one night. We used to get sort of soldiers who'd misbehaved. They used to be brought in with a guard with them. I don't know what they'd done, but we had one. He came in, he was put to bed in the ward, and the guard had a box to sit on beside him. These were all tents on the ground. We didn't have carpets or anything. And I was doing my rounds, and next round, and I was going by, and I had a look at this man. I thought, well, you don't look like the same man. Not quite. I had a closer look at him. And I found the guard was in bed sleeping, and the patient was sitting up guarding him. It's the sort of thing the Indians used to do, which is very funny.
Did you find the language, speaking the language, that this was very important? being able to converse with people.
Yes, I suppose it was. I didn't speak any high-flown language. It was a sort of lingua franca. You know, everybody spoke it as a sort of common... It was the same in Kenya. One had a sort of common language, Swahili. The real Swahili is very difficult to learn.
I was also wondering, in Burma, you know, could all the tribes be trusted? Could you trust the Burmese?
No, there were some who went over to the Japanese, but on the whole, they were very good. They helped the army, they worked for us. They did everything for us, and then we abandoned them at the end of the war, and look what's happened in Burma now.
But some of them did collaborate with the Japanese, did they?
Some did. The southern Burmese are not so nice, but the people of the Shan states are absolutely lovely. So I'll show you their pictures in a minute. And all those people up there, they joined in and helped us and looked after us. And the Nagas, of course, the Nagas, you've heard of them up in... They're near Assam and Manipur State, up in the hills there. They actually belonged to the Force 136. They used to wear red blankets and carry spears, and they were seen in Calcutta quite often walking along the streets.
So they fought with the army?
Oh, yes, they were on our side, definitely.
How about the Indians? One hears about the sort of nationalist movement, the INLA. Did that impinge on you at all?
I don't remember it. I was in India when Gandhi was active with all this, and I was going on a train journey from Delhi down to South India for some reason. I've forgotten why now. And I got into my compartment. You had to book your compartment. I sat down. Suddenly there was a loud banging on the door and rattling. The guard opened the door, and he had officials with him. And I said, "What's the matter?" And they said, "We've got to search your carriage. We're looking for Gandhi." I said, "Well, don't be silly. He's not in here." But they insisted on looking. They looked under all the bunks. And so, well, life was quite exciting, really. You can't look back on it one way and another. The ILNA, that was more active when? Do you remember what year it was?
I think it was throughout this time.
After the war,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, if you don't remember it, you know that there's no point with me asking you.
I think it's so after the war. Yeah. Yes, I have a thing about that too, because when I came out of the army, I travelled up to India to see my aunt and her son. Colonel Dudley Hennessy was in the Gurkhas in Singapore, and he and his wife had been taken prisoner of war in separate camps and didn't know each was alive till the end of the war. He was taken to Japan. There was some special camp in Japan which you probably know about. It was secretive. Anyway, when he was released, he was made... I think he was an MI5. I can't swear to it, but he was in special services anyway. And he was sent to Bombay in charge of the whole of Western India. And I was going to go on to Kenya to join my parents, but I went down and stayed with them for about 6 weeks. He and his wife got together again after the war. And it was extremely interesting because all the officials from MI5 used to come out to stay with him, and I met a lot of them. We used to go to parties in Bombay to the Taj Mahal Hotel and dance. It was a rather good time. They were all very interesting. That bit I wrote, and I was advised to send it to MI5 to be checked in case I'd mentioned anything I shouldn't.
Were the INLA involved in that?
It was a time of unrest. I don't know if it was the INLA, but my cousin used to go out disguised as some Indian, you know, politician to mix in the crowds, and it wasn't really safe to go walking in the streets. Used to be full of people.
Would it be before partition?
It was in 19... When did the war end? 1945. Yes, it was 45.
But I'd better go back to Burma.
Yes, we're getting too far ahead.
I wondered where you went after Imphal. You know, you have mentioned this place. Is it Tamu?
Tamu.
T-A-M-U, is that?
T-A-M-U. It was known as the Valley of Death.
Oh, yes. Now, I would like to tell Kabul, me as much as you can remember.
Tamu was in the Kabul Valley, K-A-B-A-W. I hadn't finished with Imphal yet, quite.
Right.
That's where we had the Japanese prisoners, which might interest you.
Yes, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
I told you about the man who got into the bed, didn't I? Yes. Oh, there's a lot more with Imphal, which you might find interesting. I've told you about... Yes, then we moved... How far have I got?
Well, would you tell me, please, about the Japanese prisoners, the two Japanese prisoners?
Yes, but first I must tell you that they moved the hospital from one side of the valley to the other. I told you they were going to.
Yes, you said they were going to.
Well,
they did it, yes.
And we didn't know why at the time. We just thought it was a waste of time, but we learnt later why. But it was after we moved that I had a ward full of Sikhs and Gurkhas, a surgical ward. And one day they sent a Japanese prisoner in, which was a very stupid thing to do. He was a thin, miserable little Jap with dark hair, and he'd been slashed across the face with a bayonet, and he couldn't possibly live. I put him in a bed near my desk so I could watch him, because the atmosphere in the ward was extremely tense. The Gurkhas were sharpening their kukris, and the Sikhs were getting ready. And anyway, it was not much one could do except make him comfortable and wet his lips. So the orderly went for his lunch, and when he came back, I said, "Now I'm going for mine. You sit here and make sure nobody does him." His eyes grew wide with terror. He said, "Don't leave me." He said, "They'll certainly kill him and will probably kill me if I attend to him." So I had to stay till he died, which was later that evening. He was going to die anyway. And the Sikhs and the Gurkhas, I was soundly scolded afterwards. They said to me, "We come out here, risk our lives to kill these people, and there you are giving him water to drink. You couldn't explain the ethics to them." And in a sense, they were right, I suppose. They were very cross with me because I'd taken him in. And then the other one was in another ward, also a surgical ward. He was quite different. He was a fair hair man and big, tall Jap, and very polite. He'd broken his leg, so he was unable to move. He was in a bed with his legs strung up. Well, that night I was on duty. It was late evening, I think, and suddenly there was the most awful row, bangs and explosions and great lumps of earth came thudding. We were in marquee tents, beds, and the great clods of earth came thumping onto the top of the tent, and he went and looked out, and what had happened was that why they'd moved us was because they had built all the ammunition for the advance into Burma into that range of mountains just beyond the old hospital. That's why they'd moved us. And some infiltrator, I don't think it was actually a Japanese, but it was somebody on their side, had got in and set the whole place alight. It was absolutely fantastic night. Dreadful. The whole place went up, bombs, flames. They flew all the aircraft out of Imphal quickly, and all our patients, we had to send them up. Those who could walk were all sent up into the hills to hide. Yeah. And one or two who couldn't remain behind, we put their beds flat on the ground. The Jap had to stay where he was, and to me it was very ironic that I sat and more or less held his hand through all this bombing, but that's the way war was and life was. He was a very polite man. He always used to say thank you, but he was quite different to the other one. It was rather silly bringing the old Jap in amongst troops, particularly the Gurkhas and the Sikhs. They were horrified. Eventually it all stopped. I was standing at one end of a marquee tent, and the blast, it blew me straight through the ward out the other end, and we had many blast injuries amongst the locals, and we had a lot of people injured, but in the morning they sent an ambulance and a doctor out to fetch in the guards who'd been guarding this, and they were all, well, most of them were dead, and they were all, those awful, that stench of human flesh, you know, burnt. They were brought back to be laid out and buried. I think that was quite a notable event, as probably in all the history books, that blowing up of the ammunition dump. What else happened there? I think, oh yes, drugs you were asking me about. That started Nympho. Penicillin came in while I was there. It was treated like gold. We used to go about, we had to do it, the sisters had to do it, you had to be very careful. And, well, as I say, it was wonderful. It did make a big difference to people who needed it. And the other thing that came in was Mepocrin, which was anti-malarial. We weren't given it when it first came in. They said there wasn't enough. So it was given to the patients who benefited by it. And then after a time they got a bigger supply and they decided the staff could have it. Thereupon Matron used to dish it out at breakfast. And I decided, having kept immune for so long, I was not going to take it. And so I used to get my pill and, when nobody was looking, put it back in the bottle. But we were warned that if we dared to get malaria now, we would be court-martialed. So fortunately, I never got it. I did get it in Kenya many years later, but not when I was in Burma.
Did you ever have visits from ENSA?
Oh, yes. And I forgot to tell you, we had Vera Lynn in Shillong. They built a special sort of stage for her, and she arrived, and all the patients were there, and all the Chindits came, and all the various hospitals all came. She arrived in the limousine in sea green silk. She looked wonderful. I mean, we were all used to seeing khaki all the time. And she got on the stage, and she sang to us, and we all sang with her. It was a wonderful evening. We had ENSA, and at IMFA, we had quite a lot of entertainment. They used to send films out that had not yet been shown in London, all those. I can't remember the names, but they were all popular ones at the time. And they used to erect an enormous screen on a flat open space, and we'd all sit outside. We'd all arrive with boxes, if we could, to sit on, or sat on the ground, and the soldiers used to bring their bottle of beer, their ration. And we'd see the best films long before they saw them in London. But the funny part was that the locals, they used to sit on the other side of the screen, behind, and watch it upside down or backwards. So they thoroughly enjoyed their evening. They had a hilarious evening. And that's one entertainment. And then we had dances, as I told you, and tarpaulins. I once danced with a man 6'9" tall, which was quite so. We used to have a good time, but plenty of exercise. I always maintain that's why I'm fit now, reasonably fit anyway.
Could you dress up at all for the dances, Enid? You know, did you have a dress to wear?
Oh, no, it was all in battle dress.
Always in battle
dress? Oh, yes,
were you?
Yes. You weren't off long enough. We didn't have any clothes out there except... Oh, the other thing I have to tell you about IMFO. Before the place blew up, we'd moved to the new hospital. We received a visit from Matron-in-Chief QAs from London. And everybody rushed about trying to tidy up. There wasn't much you could do. You just straightened the red blankets. You had earth under your feet. And somebody went up to the hills and brought down some rhododendrons used to grow all along the hills. And we put them into milk churns to tidy the ward up. And... anyway, we were called in to dine with her that night. Oh, Matron had to dispose of her dogs before Matron-in-Chief came, so she took them down to the remount depot. We still had Matron Kelly, and she took them down to the remount depot, which wasn't far away, for the night. And so we all dined with Matron-in-Chief, and it was all rather, to us, it all sounded rather petty. We were in the middle of a war, and she wanted to know if we were wearing regulation brassieres and knickers. You couldn't get anything out there anyway. You were lucky if your underclothes that stood up to it. We used to buy our battle dress from the ordnance depot where the troops got it, and they had a resident tailor in the hospital, and he used to stitch up the zips for us and put buttons in and turn up the, you know, make them smaller to fit smaller people. She was very nice, but she didn't seem to understand we were at war. She didn't think our accommodation was right. She didn't think these mud floors were right. Well, we said, what can we do about it, you know? You this is what happens when you're on active service. But that was the night that the ammunition dump blew up, and she was hastily removed to another hospital, quickly out of the way. I don't know what she thought of her visit. She went on to visit other hospitals, I think.
Did you ever work with the QAs?
Work with them? Yeah, all the time.
You were side by side, were you?
Yes. As I say, we got detached from this. That was another thing. The matron-in-chief, she'd never heard of us, and she looked at us rather suspiciously, I think, this Burma hospital, or Burma Military Nursing Service, we were by then. She couldn't understand what we were, quite. Quite a lot of people couldn't, because there weren't many around.
But how many of you would there have been, do you think, how many of you would there have been in your outfit, the Burma Nursing Service? Would you have been sort of dozens or hundreds?
Oh, not hundreds, no, I don't think so. I think later on they went back into Burma to work, you know, in the civilian hospitals. I'm not very clear about them, because I didn't come across many, and as I say, we got posted with the QAs mostly. And up in Northwest Frontier of India, there was the Indian Military Service as well.
And did you normally, you know, get on well with the QAs?
Oh, yes.
You know, absolutely. Were you much the same sort of people and training levels?
Actually, we had a very good training in Rangoon, I think, better than a lot of others. Yes, we had had friends amongst them. They were very nice. The sister Roberts, who went with me to Calcutta that trip, she was a QA.
Were there any other groups of women nurses apart from the QAs and your group?
They had something called the ANC. I don't know much about it. Auxiliary Nursing Corps. I seem to remember one or two, not in my wards, but they were about somewhere. Auxiliary Nursing Corps, I think.
Yes. When you think of the medical services in your experience, your areas of Burma and India as well, were they adequate, do you think? You know, were you able to do the job?
You mean during the war?
Yes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, we had... And we worked very hard. I mean, you never had all the staff you have here. You had one sister on duty, medical orderlies. You just kept at it. And the nursing was very good. And as I say, you didn't get cross infections and things like you get in hospitals today. And the patients were well looked after. And then they all had the food they were used to eating, because you had Muslims and Hindus and each had their own cookhouse. I'll tell you about that when we get to Tamu.
Yes, I wonder if we ought to go on to Tamu.
Yes,
because
all right.
We need...
Those were the main things. I mean, there's plenty more, but those were the main things that happened. But then I got posted to Tamu, and again with my mate, who we'd been together all the time.
Would this still have been
1944? Yes,
now in
yes, 1944? It would be. It's just... Yes. And... we were picked up by a truck, and we were sorry to leave Imphal, and we went down. Tamu's down in the Kabul Valley, and it's a very long, winding road, narrow road, way, way down. We were picked up by a truck, and the driver had, in peacetime, he used to drive a red London bus. And halfway down, we stopped along the way and made the usual tea. I told you, dig up the earth and put in some petrol. We all had a cup of tea, and then we went on. And we came across a lot of West African troops who were mending the roads. They're all very jolly. They all joked and called out. And we had a lot of soya beans on board for the rations, and none of us liked soybeans, and they loved them, so we chucked all the tins out to them. They had great fun catching them. So that was the atmosphere between the different people, you know, and they were quite happy. Anyway, finally we got to Tamu, and again we had Matron Kelly was with us, and again we had two moves. The first hospital was on a sort of hillside, all tented, and we, again, a lot of malaria and tick typhus. We had a lot of tick typhus down there, and wounds and burns. In those, they were just bringing in, putting burns cases into saline baths in those days, and we used to have them. But I told you about the water tank. That was Tamu, and Matron's dog used to swim in it. And we didn't much like the tea made with that water. We used to drink the beer we got, and we were supplied with a lot of tinned fruit, and we had a lot of juice from the tins. We used to play tennicoids. They dug out a place on the hillside. We were constantly exercised. What else did we do there?
With the wounds and burns treatment, were there any sort of developments in the war for treating wounds and burns that you were aware of? I wondered if there was a need for innovation, you know, given the conditions.
Yes, but you had to make do with a lot out there. I mean, you had basic necessities, but which was the usual treatment. We had sulfur drugs, and we used to spray the powder on and dress them with Vaseline gauze, and this depends where they were. The other thing that happened, I think it was an info, laboratories were sort of long rows of thunder boxes, you know, with little, either in a tent or something. And a soldier, when he went in, used to think, oh, lovely, I can sit down. He'd get out his cigarette, light a cigarette, and these boxes were disinfected with petrol. And unthinkingly, he'd throw the match down, and there'd be a whoosh. And I'm afraid the burns they received in the most tender areas of their body were not nice. They had some terrible... They usually got evacuated because they were not going to recover in a hurry. They were evacuated to base hospitals if they were badly burned. I mean, there were. I remember one, two, but there were others, of course. But, yes, they didn't think, you know, throwing a lighted match down there.
You mentioned earlier that the Valley of the Dead in this area. Was there a big battle in this Tamu?
The what?
The Valley of the Dead.
No, it's not the Valley of Death.
Of Death, yes.
You haven't read John Nunley's book. He describes it very well because he was there with the KAR when they had that.
Well, I wondered what you knew about this at the time. What was the Valley of Death?
Well, it was the Kabul Valley because so many had died in that battle, I presume, and it was a very unhealthy place in which to live.
Were there any signs of that while you were there?
Well, the river had bits and pieces of dead Japs, their swords and bits of their clothing in it, and that's where our water came from. Rather stupidly, I had described it to my mother. Well, we were on that hillside for quite a long time. It was exceedingly hot and humid. You sweated the whole time. We just poured sweat. They had a sort of lime juice which they provided for us to replace your body fluids. And, well, it was. We all worked hard there. Our main entertainment was playing tennicoids, and I had my gramophone went with me everywhere.
You took it to the wards, did you?
I sometimes took it to the wards, and then the patients used to enjoy it too. But in Tamu, I have to say this in context. After a time, we had to move from that place again on the hillside because there was too many ticks there, and it was you know, people were getting bitten. So they cleared a clearing in the valley, teak trees. There were great teak trees. The whole valley was full of teak trees, and moves the hospital down into the valley. It was our tents, our mess tents. There was a river going that told you about the river, and our tents were on the river bank, where we lived. And I had the gramophone there, of course. Well, the whole hospital simply moved down. We carried on down there, and I remember Ensor coming down there.